Appreciate y'all being with us this evening. Thank you for your encouragement and what we tried to say and do this morning. And thank you for several of you for planning to have guests and to host get-togethers afterward tonight. We will be a little bit more brief. It's not necessarily because of what Travis said about what he's missed in his life. I feel like I have a certain amount of minutes allotted to me each Lord's Day, and I used most of them this morning, so we can say it that way. For those of you who are worried about the Super Bowl stuff, the only thing I can say about it is if you ever think preachers talk things too much, all you have to do is turn it on this afternoon and watch. Man, the announcers get to be the star of the show, I think, in deals like that. I was encouraged to find out it's warmer here than there. And I hope you're not tired of the hot weather yet in that way. I learned today two different words. One of them I forgot already. It had to do with how the numbers of the day work out. 02, 02, 2, 02, 0. What was that word, you guys? Palindrome. There we go. Palindrome. Today, the date for the day is a palindrome. I also learned something much more important to me, and I believe it will be to us. I learned in working on our study this morning that there is a word which appears here in the Gospel of Luke, which is used one time in the New Testament. It's a word that causes me to stop and think about the faith that was exercised by the men Jesus chose to be apostles. It's something that we run across here in Acts 1 in verse 4. And when you think of the word order, if you think of what you placed today at the restaurant, that's one form of the word. If you think instead about something with someone who you consider to have the final say about something, charges you to do, or compels you to do, that's the meaning of the word here. Look at it in Acts 1 and verse 4. And while staying with or eating with them, this is the Lord, with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. We talked about that promise this morning, and I'm not going to take the time tonight to focus on that part of it. What he promised was that they would be baptized in the Spirit not many days hence. I'm not sure about all of the chronology of their waiting in Jerusalem. I know from John 21 that there was a trip to Galilee and there was fishing on the lake and so forth. But here they are back in Jerusalem, and Jesus tells these men one thing. Notice that word, wait. Don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait. And what I found out was that this word for wait is the one that occurs just here. There are eight different words for wait that you find in the New Testament. That tells me that being a Christian involves a lot of waiting in different senses. But the waiting involved here means to await an event. Are any of you present tonight awaiting an event? Your shirts give you away, a lot of you, I can tell. The awaiting of the event that Jesus is talking to these men about, of course, is eternally significant. I can remember the other time the Chiefs played in the Super Bowl, Lenny Dawson and Ed Podolak and guys like that back then. I was more interested in football then than I am now, although that is a generational thing. What these men wait for is an eternally significant thing, to await an event. Now, here's the thing. The Lord was asking people here to do something which was not in their natural temperament. If you just think back to these fellows in the gospel accounts and think of some of the ways they show what their natural impulse would be, you can think of several cases of this. Peter is the most notable example. He's the guy in the storm who would get out and at the Lord's word and walk on the water before maybe he had thought through whether he could stay with that or not. He was the guy in the garden who took out a sword and hacked off the ear of the servant of the high priest without maybe thinking that through. The Lord had to not only tell him to put it away, but also fix the guy's ear. He's the guy in at the Sea of Galilee when they're fishing after the resurrection, who out in the boat, they look over there on the shore and there's someone fixing breakfast. And he says, "It's the Lord," and just gathers up his garment, tosses it aside, and jumps in and swims to the shore, if you remember. He does things without waiting. I think James and John had a streak of this in them a bit too. If you remember, they're the ones who say, "Lord, you want us to call down fire on these people who haven't received you in this village." They were not exactly tending to wait for the judgment there, were they? They were willing to help hasten it on. I think of Thomas, although it expresses some doubt, it also shows that he's not especially good about waiting. "Let's go with him that we may die." And then that Sunday night when he appeared to them first, Thomas is absent. He hasn't waited around for a small thing like the appearing of somebody who's overcome death itself. How about you? Is to wait for an event your natural temperament? Or do you have to be told? You parents who are raising little ones, is waiting for an event what they naturally do? Or have you encountered a bit of, "Is it time yet? When, you know, can it be now?" That's the human in them that's showing itself there. Jesus tells these men to wait in Jerusalem, the place where he had been crucified, until they received the promise. Now watch what happens. This is also not what they expect. It's not only not natural, it's not what they expect. If you look a few verses later here in Acts 1, you come down to verse 6, and you notice when they had come together, they ask him, "Lord, will you at this time, restore the kingdom to Israel?" Not only do they have a misapprehension about what form the kingdom will take and what it will mean, but they're also are focused as much on the timing of it as they are on the meaning of it or the identity of it. They expected that when the Messiah came and engaged in his work, it would mean the restoring of the kingdom to Israel, politically speaking, physically speaking, and that's kind of what they're asking about here. You notice when they get over into chapter 2 of Acts, and when the promise has been received and when they stand up to speak, at verse 36 of chapter 2, Peter says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ." I found a comment about that I thought was perceptive, and I'd like to ask you to think about this. One writer, this is from Cambridge Greek Testament, says, "The change from the Spirit which dictated the question of chapter 1, verse 6, 'Will you at this time restore the kingdom?' to the Spirit in which Peter preached repentance and forgiveness to everybody whom the Lord should call," him being Lord and Christ, This writer says, this is the greatest evidence of the miracle of Pentecost. Not the tongues, but the change in what Peter and the others thought the kingdom would be and what the Lord would do with you at this time. If it's not your natural habit, and if it, your inclination, if it's not what you expect, and someone tells you to do it, would you wait? Could you wait? Would you be tempted to get out and start telling what you knew right then? Let's get busy. Let's tell everyone. Here's the wonder of it. They waited. They kept his order. They acted in keeping with what he said. They did not begin on their own to do it their way. They waited. Now, waiting for the event meant not just that they sort of forgot about it, put it on the back shelf, and went on. It meant that they prayed. It meant that they made what preparation they could. The rest of Acts chapter 1 shows a little bit about what that meant. They were together. They acted with one accord in what they did. All of those things were a part of waiting, but they were all doing what the Lord gave them to do. It's a good way for us to understand, at least in one way, our activity as a congregation of the Lord's people. Yes, a lot of it is about doing and about serving and about being active and about loving each other fervently and keeping the faith and teaching it and keeping our hope alive. But some of it is trying to keep doing what the Lord has told us to do and to wait in that sense, to wait for an event. Now, the beauty of this, of course, is that it wasn't real long. 10 days later, apparently, from the Lord's ascension, the day of Pentecost comes. They're blessed with power, and they begin to bear witness that changed the course of history. And, of course, the destiny of many, many people down through the years. They kept his order. Of all the great things the apostles did, the most basic is here. The rest of it would not have happened had they not been willing to do something as basic as waiting for an event that depended on the promise of God. Now, what happens here is they end up waiting in a different way. They end up having learned to await something different. Now, here's what I mean by this. You remember the story that Luke records in Acts 1, verse 9? When he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud, I take it the cloud of glory, such as existed in connection with the tabernacle at the Old Testament, the cloud took him up out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by him in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven?" What are they doing? They're waiting in a different way. Why you stand? Don't wait this way. Wait till you receive the promise. But here, while you stand looking, this Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So now then, the entire Christian perspective will turn toward looking in a different way. I looked up some of the other words for wait in the New Testament. Let me share with you some of the meanings that are here. One of them means to look for with a view towards favorable reception. Look for him expecting to welcome him and to be welcomed by him. To await or to expect eagerly. Or the words used in connection with the Lord's coming, the suggested of waiting with patience and confident expectancy, it says. That means that you are looking forward to something, waiting in the sense of looking forward to it and hoping in it. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 9 gives you a sense of what we're talking about here when he says that the last two verses, and just as it's appointed for man once to die, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Of course, I could multiply the statements about waiting in this sense that are found in the New Testament. My favorite other two are in Titus chapter 2 at verse 13, and then in Philippians 3 verses 20 and 21. If you want to look those up. I discovered in trying to prepare these thoughts that the word for wait, which is used in Acts 1 and verse 4, does occur one time in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. It's kind of odd to me, these two places. And the place it occurs is in one verse of the blessing that Jacob, or Israel, pronounced over his 12 sons. At Genesis 49 and verse 18, when he was blessing Dan, his son Dan, it has just one line, and it is, "I wait for your salvation, O Lord." That means that's an event that I am looking forward to and I'm waiting for, and I want to be around when it happens. The word for wait sort of means to abide around there until it happens, and to be ready in that way. I want to encourage all of us to be ready in that way, to be there for that great event. Can be in Christ. That's what we were talking about this morning. The Lord will help us to be, if that's what we desire. It might be that someone is here tonight wanting to answer a yes to that invitation to be united with the Lord in obedience to the gospel, or to have your brothers and sisters pray with you about something that's amiss that you're concerned about. If we can help you in either of those ways, would you let that be known while Travis leads us in this next song? If you'd be standing.